You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, July 31st, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I have with me my regular Monday co-host from across the pond, broadcasting from London, Paul Edward Stevenson. And, I guess we're ready for another broadcast of radio optimism with Paul and Richard. Isn't that right, Paul?
I'm ready to go, Richard. I've been warming up. I'm warming up. I'm ready to go. I'm entering the ring.
Very good. Very good. But no, seriously.
I've got my sweat up.
But it is hard to stay optimistic, isn't it? You know, I heard one radio host last week. He was calling in to bid his farewells to a fellow RBN host. He's currently broadcasting elsewhere, but he mentions at his dinner table, you know, with his family, you know, his wife and child, they have a rule. For every one negative piece of news you mention, you have to mention two positive things. And so it keeps them kind of quiet. That was Vincent Finelli of the U.S. Repairs.
It would keep you pretty quiet after you've made the first negative comment. I suppose it's just silence for the rest of the dinner table. I suppose that's a good technique. Can anybody think of two positive things? Can I get back to you on that? It's like one of those committees. You know? It's like one of those committees when you grill Marek Garland about his persecution of Catholics or Mallorca about, you know, how come you're letting all these people through the border. Can I get back to you on that? That's a good point. I'll have to get back to you on that, you know. I haven't got an answer for you right now, I'm afraid, conveniently.
Yeah, and I was just looking at a dreadful statistic here as far as just how damaged the money printing during COVID did to us. They estimate these stimulus checks resulted in us losing 20% of our purchasing power. And that's going to go on the rest of our lives. So
it's called theft. You know, that's why they like it. This is what Jews have always done down through history, and it's what always got them in church in trouble, by the way. But not only the Catholics in Europe, but the Muslims. You know, they take control of the money supply like that, and they basically, it's a wealth transfer. They steal your money. It's just theft. Daylight robbery. The people don't understand. That's why, you know, they can do it. It's daylight robbery.
And of course, there's every excuse in the world why, you know, we need to tolerate the excess money printing and money spending of our governments in the name of, well, so many disasters will fall on us otherwise, Paul, right?
But, you know, the money, that is the head of the snake. It always was. It's no coincidence. The two big ones are always been the money in the media or the lending and the lies. It's no coincidence that everywhere Jews go, including your own country, that very, very quickly, and the first thing they took control of was the money supply. That, you know, they got the Federal Reserve in there. And then they follow that up by the media, and then they buy up everybody, and they take control of the money supply, and then they can print up money anytime they need it. And then you have more wars and more of these pandemics, you know, and bailouts for banks. Look, you can't have pandemics where you bail everybody out and lockdowns, and you can't have all these wars if you can't print the money, because guess what, you can't afford it. It's an expensive business telling everybody to stay at home, shutting down the economy and going to war all the time. So they basically rob you to do it, even though most of the time you've no interest in doing any of these things, you know?
Over here, as of tomorrow, new regulations are going to prohibit stores from selling incandescent light bulbs, you know, the standard halogen bulbs. And, of course, you know, this is, well, partly due to the whole climate change scam. But the electric cars, that's what's really destroying our economies in the future. But, hey, it's a big secret. Once they get everyone off of petrol, I'm saying petrol because I'm speaking to you overseas, petrol-powered vehicles, then suddenly they'll say, oh, wait, but we forgot to tell you this part. Most of you aren't supposed to own private vehicles. So those electric vehicles, it's okay that they're inefficient. Hey, the elites are still going to have, these antique petrol guzzlers. Isn't that right?
This will be a much it worries me more in Europe because it's a much easier sell in Europe because you still have – in America, you still have, let's just say, you know, your average Trump supporter. You know, okay, you've got the East Coast and the West Coast, and then you've got basically the rest of real America. You know, what used to be real America in the East and in the West Coast of America is, you know, all but dead. But everything in between is the real America. And that's going to be a harder sell. Like I said before, it's like trying to tell the French there's going to be no more red wine and baguettes, or there's going to be no more seafood linguine in Italy. It's a hard sell. But over here, you know, not only, I mean, I'm not saying there isn't a rise to the right over here. There is, even though it's you know, profoundly suppressed. And we'll get to Georgia Maloney in a minute as well, who's been over there with you guys. But it's a smaller place. So people will say, well, you know, I mean, like I said, if you go to Amsterdam, if you go to Milan, if you go to, anywhere, you can pick a city, Zurich. Any of these cities in Germany or in Europe are already sort of, you know, been weaned well off cars in certain areas. There's a lot of trams, there's a lot of places, and it's kind of become the character of those places. It'll be a lot easier for Europeans to transition into that. Now, not entirely, obviously, because you've got people who don't live in those small areas, but I think it's going to be a bigger problem for you guys. I'm hoping you guys resist it. Properly, because like I said before, I think, you know, because of the landmass of America, that, you know, those big cars that you drive, and whenever we were kids, we used to laugh at the Americans. It's like, and they, why do the Americans need everything so big? All the food they eat is like, these plates are so big, they eat so much food, their houses are massive, their cars are massive, their motorbikes are massive, they have these monster trucks, you know, driving around these dirt tracks, and, you know, we find it entertaining, obviously, but it's not like that here. And so that sort of, you know, almost obsession is part of the U.S. DNA of gas-guzzling big cars, you know? So I hold on to them, Richard.
Right. Yeah, but at the same time, well, no. In general,
now you're importing all our crap. Now you're importing all these little mini BMWs and IDs and stuff.
Right. And yeah, no, I mean, with the large stretches of rural farmland, vast stretches of land of the U.S., it'll be a harder sell. Just like trying to take our guns away. You're never going to get the guns out of the interior of the U.S.
Exactly. Over here, you know, your average person over here it's never been part of our lives to have guns. I mean, you know, most people are scared of guns. I mean, I if you're not brought up with them, it's kind of foreign to you. You know, I've held a gun myself. It's, you know, I remember going to a shooting ring with someone I know, and I was scared of the gun. I was like, what if this thing backfires? I was like, you know, I took a couple of shots of it, and I was terrified of it. I thought, what if it backfires and blows my hand off? You know, I thought, guns aren't for me. But, you know, so again, over here, no one thinks about guns. Most people over here think you guys are crazy. What is it with these Americans? They, you know, they're crazy. Why do they need all these guns, you know? But I understand why you have these guns, and it's a good idea. But over here, it's just foreign to, you know, for people, unless you're in the military or something, or you get a special license. you know, or you're like a hunter or something. People here, it's just like, it just seems crazy to have a gun around, you know?
Absolutely. But you touched on an interesting topic. We have to hold on to these guns, our private vehicles and all that. But as far as...
Yeah, hold on to everything.
But as far as American culture's excess, you talk about, some of that is unnecessary excess, it sounds like. And I mean, this Talmudic Jewish money system and constant expansion being necessary to fuel it, kind of warped, seeped into the American culture along the way. The consumerism feeds this need for constant expansion.
Yeah, well, the problem with all the heavy consumerism, the overindulgence that I spoke about, is it's a problem, particularly spiritually. You know, once the spiritual aspect of your country, and Europe's the same, is starts to be compromised, then usually some problems will follow. But I think it's also kind of, in America, you're victims of your own success because, you know, you had so much prosperity there. That it came, again, it became sort of part and parcel of being American. It's not your fault that you were successful. You know, that's why so many people went there and wanted to go there. They could make money and they could have a better standard of living. They left, you know, Europe and they left Ireland and they left Eastern Europe and Russia and all sorts to go to America. This was the land of milk and honey because people worked hard and they got rewarded. And for the first time, you had the vast majority of people were in the middle class. This was completely aberrant, you know, in European history, where you basically had a serf class. So it is part of your, you know, you're victims of your own success there.
You know, that's why they call it the American experiment then. Maybe there is some validity to that, because the experiment was trying to allow a middle class and seeing if the elites could survive. And they realized, no, bad idea. We have to wipe that out. I'm sorry. Go ahead, though.
No, you're absolutely right. But it's a double-edged sword, because then, you know, I think it can become to the point where, and I don't mean this in any way derogatory, but if you have, America's a very young nation, and in one sense, it's a bad thing, particularly with the Jewish thing, that it was cut off from its European history. Although I don't, you know, looking at Europe now, all they had to do was secularize Europe for a century, and they've cut them off from the remembering what the history of Jews were in these lands. But, you know, in one sense, it kind of cut you off a little bit. But it's because it's a young nation and it's had so much prosperity, it can become a little bit like a two-year-old or a three-year-old. It's so used to getting its own way all the time. And that's not a good thing, you know?
And Israel, even more so in that regard.
Yeah, that's another. I mean,
I don't know. At this point, they're kind of joined at the hip in some ways, militarily.
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, I mean, that of course, is part of the whole Christian Zionist thing, where you have well-meaning people like, what's her name, Pat in Texas, who calls in, you know, and these people who are constantly telling us that, you know, the rapture's coming, Jesus is coming back any minute. They've got all sorts of misguided ideas about the state of Israel over there, and a lot of ignorant ideas about the state of Israel and how we must stand by them. And they're constantly obsessed with dispensationalism and, you know, this phony, unbiblical eschatological system. But they're well-meaning people. It's just that a lot of them have been, you know, misled. But it's the same here, you know. The church is in a big mess. I don't go to church, because I get so frustrated with it. I get so sick and tired of it. I can't handle going there anymore. You know, it's just so much nonsense in there. It's become for me intolerable, quite frankly.
Well, yes, you've outgrown your local.
I outgrew it before I even went to an official church for the first time. I mean, I went to Catholic churches when I was younger. The problem is, I became a Christian from an actual, real, individual move and relationship with Christ, well outside anything to do with any church or any pastor or anything else. It happened to me organically. And the problem is, I'd read the scriptures intensely for 5 or 6, you know, years before I even went to a church. And then I went to a church, either like a Protestant church, an evangelical church, and then I went there I'm thinking, what the hell are these guys talking about, you know?
Right.
It was just like, honestly, I was like looking at my Bible and then looking up at these guys and then thinking, this is like a different planet here, really, you know? And there's so much, anyway, it's, that's another story all of itself, you know?
Sure. I do understand. I certainly do. But, and so there's so much that we're unable to alert those around us to change things. I mean, if everyone had the information we had, you know, so much could be reformed virtually, yeah, well, practically overnight. But it's not going to happen. And also most people, well, they wouldn't understand, and or they're so, well, obsessed with their own self-involved, you know, agendas.
It is a frustration, Richard. And I have to be mindful of it sometimes because I've got people close to me who are completely brain dead and uninformed about these things, even in my family. And you realize after a while you're going to destroy the relationship if you try and dump everything on someone too quickly and too much. People like us are probably rarities, and it often fascinates me how you can – there's certain people you can dump all the truth on. You can say, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more. And then you're able to sort of accept that, decipher it, sift through it, but you're actually predisposed to it. Now, it doesn't mean you're predisposed to every wacky conspiracies out there. You're not going to be a complete moron, but some people, anything is off the beaten track. It's just too much for them. And they're not like us where we kind of embrace and welcome this sort of stuff, which is off the mainstream, because we know instinctively on some level, even before we knew anything, that something's not right. And there are scriptures that say here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. In fact, Jesus said to the disciples when they were still in their Jewish centric worldview about who the Messiah should be and about the Gentiles not being able to be, you know, at that point they didn't even know what a Christian was, but Jesus had to say to them, he said, there's many things that I would like to tell you, but you're not able to bear them, you know? And that's just the way it is with some people. They're just not able to bear them, you know? They can't handle it, you know?
And that's what we're doing here on the radio, places like RBN. Most people wouldn't even be able to accept the information we're sharing. We're sharing with the few who are conducive.
It's a shame. I don't know what the outreach is in terms of how RBN expand themselves, but you know, most of our listeners, you know, you're always talking to the, you know, like most of the time preaching to the choir or preaching to the converted. I don't know really what the percentage is. I mean, how many of your average Trump supporter would listen to RBN and switch off, for example, because we talk about the Jewish thing? You know, the Jewish thing is something that which will turn a lot of people off. You know, and yet they might be against all sorts of things that the Biden administration talk about. You know, let's just say if someone was talking to Tucker Carlson and we were in agreement with Tucker Carlson on 90% of everything he spoke about, and then we even agreed to disagree on China and he's open-minded about that, as soon as we mentioned the Jewish thing, I bet you Tucker's out of there, you know?
Yes, absolutely, and... Well, yeah, he's kind of the gauge for what people, the threshold, you know, of most of that demographic right now. And
No, go ahead. It's one of those things I think that people just want to steer away from. It's a shame. I mean, you know, it's not the only thing that we talk about, obviously. And, you know, I don't blame Jews for everything. You know, there's a lot of other issues to throw into that blender. You know, they should be at least part of the conversation when you look at their influence and stuff like that. But alas, we live in a period of time, unfortunately for us, where, you know, we are considered, you know, maybe not as much as 10 years ago, but still we're considered sort of like fringe weirdos or something for talking about the Jewish problem, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And defending white people a little too much for most people's comfort zone. They're conditioned to not do that. It's just unsavory.
Yeah, that's changing. That is changing more rapidly than the Jewish thing.
I think so, yeah. I guess it is inevitable with the onslaught against our culture.
Yes, of course.
Well, I hear the music. Stick around, folks, and we'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Here on Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And if you haven't been, do check out Paul's broadcast on RBN. And now, of course, that's Saturday mornings. That's 10 a.m. Central Time. Last Man Standing with Paul Edward Stevenson. And, I don't know, Paul. We have a lot that is never going to get through to most people. You know, I always feel compelled to try to get the information out, though, to those who do want those updates, you know, and we'll keep trying, you know, because, I mean, sharing that information, like the economy, we're still getting gaslit by Biden. He's claiming that there's a manufacturing boom right now as the production over here in the U.S. Production is plunging in the U.S.
Yeah, well, manufacturing, Joe, propaganda and inflation.
There's a manufacturing boom of BS. He's manufacturing a lot of that.
Yeah, talking about Joe Biden, he was over there, Giorgia Meloni, who laughably gets accused of being, you know, neo-fascist and having a far-right government. Well, if there, you know, obviously it doesn't take much to be accused of being called a neo-Nazi or a neo-fascist or the far right today, but they certainly in Georgia's recent shenanigans, and it seems to me U-turn, they certainly have got nothing to be accusing her of that even remotely, because she was over there seeing Biden, and I'm sorry, I've also seen pictures of this woman in these kind of EU photographs with Zelensky and everything else, and she is like, I don't know what the word is, it's just cringe. And when she's over there, it's like she's, you know, she was voted into Italy as a serious politician, talking about preventing immigration from Africa, particularly securing their borders, being pro-family, anti-LGBT, anti-gay marriage, you know, real traditional, you know, populist type, Viktor Orban style. And she's been running around like some little giddy teenager, enjoying the bright lights, you know, looking anything but a serious politician, just been completely, she's over in the White House, and I saw footage of her, and Biden's over there. In fact, Biden, this is interesting, kind of, you know, somewhat humorous, considering I've got, you know, three quarters of my blood is Irish, but thankfully I don't take myself as serious as these morons in, you know, these politically correct circles where they're constantly being offended. But I couldn't help thinking, first of all, Joe said when he was turning on his charm offensive, which is ostensibly working on this Meloni clown, he was saying that, and I quote, now bear in mind, if Donald Trump said this, or if even Biden said this about the black community, he said, he reached over to her and he said, even though I'm Irish, I'm not stupid. He said, I married, and he reeled off the name of some Italian guy. I married the granddaughter of some Italian guy. But you, like, Joe, WTF, Joe. I mean, I'm not Irish. I might be Irish, but I'm not stupid. Could you imagine? He says, I might be black, but I'm not stupid. Or I might be a Jew, but I have no intention of taking over the world. Or I might be a Jew, but I don't hate Christ. I mean, or could you imagine if Trump said that? I mean, Joe, you know, how much of the Irish diaspora is your voting bloc talking about offending your Irish voters? I might be Irish, but I'm not stupid.
Well, it's an excuse to criticize, you know, a white ethnicity, since he is the ethnicity. So that's why he's cashing in on it. He's all about shaming white people. You know.
But if Trump said that, that itself would be the absolute headline. If Trump said that about any other group, just some little comment like that, which shows you that Joe Biden doesn't give a damn about all this politically correct stuff. Anyway, he said, you know, so he's turning on this charm offensive to Meloni. And if you see the pictures, which would make you sick, she said, he reached over and held her hand and she's giggling. And in an article in Crux, it said the warm conversation was in contrast to Biden's warning to a fundraiser in September 2022. This is just before Meloni took power. That Meloni's win would be bad for democracy and Western alliances, because she was seen, of course, as being anti-democratic, and, you know, they were pro-Nazi or whatever, pro-fascist.
Go ahead.
Well, she has, and this article goes on to say, it talks about China as well, with the whole Belt and Road Initiative over there, and how that she's trying to get away from that. Because she's sucking up to the West and the West is sucking up to her. But she has since basically said, and I quote, Italy needs immigration. And
it needs also, more Italian births. It needs a higher birth rate.
This is what she ran on. And, you know, the article says experts say Meloni ingratiated herself with Washington and Brussels by pledges of unlimited military aid to Ukraine. That's the same Ukraine that's so pro-family and anti-LGBT, of course, you know.
She has all the integrity of a teenage girl pop star. Honestly, I've been convinced, assuming that from the beginning, to be frank.
Yeah, we'll she's... Be, a, yeah.
Well, right on the break, we'll be right back.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson. And Paul, I don't know, we have a caller on the line. The lady's ears must have been ringing. We have Pat in Texas on the line. Pat, welcome to the show, ma'am. Okay, maybe. Oh, there you are. Hello,
oh,
Pat.
Okay. I said I was eating my lunch, and I hadn't had a chance to turn you guys off. And I heard somebody say something about Pat in Texas, fix the loaf coming soon. I said, huh? When did I say that? I don't think I ever said that. I'm one that you get what you want. You want a pre-trib, mid-trib, whatever. You get what you want. Oh, I had a friend who kept saying, I want to be on the first load out of here. You know what? She's only 62 and she's dead. Uh-huh. She took that jab.
Yeah, you see, Pat, you're talking about pre-trib, and, you know, you don't even understand that the whole idea of post-trib, pre-trib, it's all part of dispensationalism. It's like you think it's, you know, that if, in fact, so does Alex Jones. He doesn't understand a hoot about it either, because he talks about it, oh, we're not pre-tribbers, we're, you know, or whatever. I mean, as if that's the whole eschatological system. It's about 1% of anything. Pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. It's all part of this whole obsession about the rapture for a start. It doesn't talk. The problem is you guys don't know any other view. You don't understand that for that the view you actually listen to, actually believed. Let me finish. No one actually believed up until about 1850, which is about, you know, you've believed the view which is only been held. It's like if there's ever been an end days deception.
I know all that. But you know what?
Pat, what are the other four views? I mentioned.
Let Pat respond. Take turns to be fair. Pat, respond before Paul continues, please.
I believe that it's going to take them 7 years to bury all the dead people. And all everything out there in the desert after the Armageddon. So, hey, that hasn't happened. So
yeah, but let me tell you something. There are four main views of eschatological views which have been held historically by the church. Can you tell me the other three? In fact, the one you believe is only a part of the view which is the futurist view. Can you even name me the three other main views? Can you name me one of them? Name me one. Just give me one that all our brothers and sisters in the Lord have held for the whole entirety of church history. There's four main views. The one you believe is a small one that no one believed for the whole up until 1850 as part of the futurist view. Can you even name me one of the other four main views?
I don't know where they got one. I don't know where they got it. I mean, you know.
You don't know where they go. All over.
Here, let her respond.
Second, I can't tell you about church history because I didn't plan to get into this argument. But like I said, after the Battle of Armageddon, it's going to take them 7 years to bury all the dead out there when they find them on the desert. So that hasn't happened.
Yeah, no, Paul, I mean, it's not like you need to be attacking Pat, and she's not trying to defend this as opposed to the other viewpoints. And, you know, it would be good if someone like you enlightened people on the other viewpoints. A lot of Americans who have this,
I've done loads of shows. Shows with Gary DeMar and stuff like that. You know, I mean, the whole idea of Armageddon is very much a thing within dispensationalism. The whole idea of 7 years. Hal Lindsey wrote a book. It sold millions. He wrote a book and he said in 1981, he said, it's 40 years as a generation from 1946 after Israel was reestablished in their land. He said, was it 1946 or 47? He said, a generation is 40 years. Therefore, the Great Tribulation should start in 1981, and the world should end in 1988. And he famously said, I'm either going to be proved to be a prophet or a bum. Well, now we know how, and people are still buying
it. I remember that, yeah.
They're still buying his books. And he's updated his books since.
Well,
and he said, years old.
Hey, you know how you know how this homosexual mess started? This guy wrote a book and said the world is so overpopulated that by 1970, there won't be a place for anybody to live. They're still buying his books, too. Island for people to live on. They're still buying his books. I mean, you know, I don't know what to say, but I didn't mean to give anybody ever the impression that I thought that the Lord was coming soon. I mean, if he is, all I know is you just keep on working like he's not.
Well, amen. Amen.
There you go. That all right? Sorry. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate your call. Yes, ma'am. And, yeah, no, I, I don't know where to take things after that. I was trying to just report on the economy initially, but no, that was a good back and forth there. And at least you sort of, for a lot of us secular listeners here too, I mean, sort out some of the intricacies we weren't aware of. And I was just trying to go over earlier, you know, just how bad the economic forecast is. Ford Motors, for example, they'll lose $4.5 billion on their electric vehicle push this year, and that's up from $2.1 billion last year. We've had the big trucking company, Yellow, a really huge trucking company, and they've just decided they're going to file bankruptcy as of today. So that's 30,000 jobs, 12,000 trucks. And, you know, they're big with, like, the Teamsters and all that here.
But, you know, Richard, you were talking about before the show about positive things. And, you know, at the dinner table where you've got one negative and two positives, actually, you know, there are some decent positive things happening recently. Because I think the increasing rise of Tucker Carlson is good on Twitter. I also think the people getting organized and the boycott of Bud Light should almost be a template going forward. And over here, you had a big bank that shut down Nigel Farage's bank account, which and that has spectacularly backfired on the banks. And so, you know, there are good things happening as well, you know, because these people, a lot of it's audacity and overreach, and they get full of hubris, and they think they can do what they want, and then they pick on someone like Nigel Farage. Well, you don't pick on Farage. I mean, I don't agree with everything that Nigel Farage says, but, you know, it's not like you're closing my bank account. It's Nigel Farage, for God's sake. Who do these people think they are, you know?
Yeah, no, it's crazy just how little it takes for them to attack even well-established names in their own society, for that matter. So, no, it is. Yeah, that is a big example, to be sure. Yeah. Over in Colombia, the Sun.
So that's good news.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is good news. You know, over in Colombia, the son of the president and his wife were arrested, and a perpetrator walked, as they call it, for the crime of money laundering. And if only, could you imagine them doing that to Hunter Biden here? It just shows how, you know, we're far worse off than places like Colombia, really, with the corruption being systemic. We've had an attempt to shut up a witness by an attempt to put him in jail that didn't work out. The Department of Justice denied trying to jail this Hunter Biden witness before the testimony that's going to occur tomorrow, Tuesday. So we'll see what happens with that. Oh, and as far as medals, okay, I don't know. There are claims that, you know, there could be a big a spike in silver. I double-checked to make sure it wasn't a sponsored ad. And But gold prices, J.P. Morgan projects record gold prices in 2024. All they're saying is they forecast $2,000 gold by the end of the year and then rising into 2024. We went down to be where we are now. I mean, because I remember, about 10 years ago or maybe like, yeah, 8-10 years ago, that was the price of gold. They suppressed it for quite a while there, didn't they? So, I mean, it's just metals are always going to be suppressed, it seems like, even if silver and others are needed for these solar panels and electric vehicles and batteries components, no matter how much in demand it is, I don't know. They never want people cashing in who have the physical is the thing.
Well, not only that, but there's a lot of, you know, invested interest in keeping the price of silver down because it would put a lot of these big companies out of business if silver rose to where it should be. So I think there's a particular suppression of the silver market because, like you said, silver is used in all sorts of components in cars, including electric vehicles and the batteries and things like that.
I'm sorry, there. It's kind of slipped away from me there when I was looking at. We have Don in Arizona. Who just jumped on the line. Let's hear from Don.
Hello there. I think the guy said something about Jews defrauding people or something like that in the beginning, being kind of crooks and stealing. I think you said something to that effect. Did you guys hear about this guy, Eli Weinstein?
Paul, I don't think I have.
Eli
no,
Weinstein.
I haven't.
Okay, I'll tell you about him then. It's an interesting story. He was known as the biggest fraudster in New Jersey. This is a few years ago, not long ago. He's still a fairly young man. He all kinds of fraud. They got him for defrauding people for almost $500 million, about 400.
Are you talking about Bernie Madoff?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about Eli Weinstein.
He's another one did the same thing.
Okay, well, this guy did the same thing. He set the record in New Jersey for fraud. And while he was waiting there to go to trial, he did some more fraud. They caught him on that, too. And then, so they sent him to prison. He had a 20-year sentence. Now, Donald Trump commuted his sentence. Just before Trump got out of office, he commuted a lot of people or gave pardons. So this guy was very happy. He thanked Trump, and he thanked Ivanka. I guess Ivanka was the one that told Trump. This guy was Chabad Lubavitch, I think.
Well, look at man.
They believe there's nothing wrong with fraud. God thinks that fraud is fine. It's not a sin to defraud the government.
Well, their God does.
Yeah, well, that's what they believe. Their God is doing.
That's what the Talmud teaches.
He was a free man. He was happy. He thanked Trump. He thanked Ivanka. And as soon as he got out of jail, he started on another Ponzi scheme. More. Now he's back in prison again. So that was only a few years ago. Trump pardoned him. I mean, he didn't pardon. He commuted the sentence, which is almost the same. He's free. He got caught again swindling people. That's all he knew how to do. He couldn't stop. But the Jews, one thing they believe is, if a Jew doesn't do any physical harm, to say doesn't hit you in the face, he shouldn't go to prison. And that's what happens. Look at this guy, Sam Bankman-Fried. They're dropping all the charges on that guy. Looks like he won't do any serious time for all the money he stole. So there's something wrong. It looks to me. I mean, I like Jews as individuals, but they have this mafioso mentality where they take over the entire Justice Department, it looks like, the whole damn, or most of it, especially in New Jersey and New York and around there.
They're completely invasive and subversive, so.
They're what?
Well, they're completely invasive and subversive and, you know, anti-social, which is what's always got them in trouble and historically, because usually people find, well-meaning Christian societies usually find out, you know, there's problems starting, and then they get wind of the Talmud and they read the Talmud and they go, what the hell is going on with these people, you know? We got to get rid of this, and we got to get rid of these people, you know?
Well, there was a good video about that. I saw this guy called Blackpilled. He calls himself Blackpilled on BitChute. But that whole town, Lakewood, New Jersey, a whole bunch of people defrauded, had Medicare. A whole bunch of the Jews defrauded. They're all Jews. The whole town was Jews, almost, Lakewood, most of it. There were 60% of it. But these people that were doing the Medicare fraud and different kinds of government fraud where they get checks, you know, and sometimes they end up with huge amounts of money on doing that stuff. And so they all got caught. They all got caught, and then they didn't have to do any jail time. So there's something wrong. If I stole $500 million, I'd be in prison forever, probably, right? But this guy can get away with it. Yeah, but you know, Jews, I like them as individuals, as people. But you can't really, if one of them tries to screw, I've never had to do business with any of them specifically.
Usually it's a good yardstick of one of them if they'll say Happy Christmas or they're, you know, they are usually, you know, profoundly anti-Christianity and anti-Christ. And if you find one that's not like that, then, you know, they're usually okay. You know, someone like Peter Schiff I like a lot. He'll always say Happy Christmas.
Yeah, Peter Schiff.
Peter
Schiff, in fact, he got screwed on his bank deal. On his bank deal, he got screwed by the Justice Department because he's not on the wrong side of
That's right. Yeah, he's in a lot of heat. But yeah, he'd be an example of one of those guys I would call a good Jew. In fact, when you get a good one,
He wants to go. He wants to go on. He would like to go to the congressional hearings himself and talk about his case. He didn't do anything wrong. They just went after him. See, they can go after anybody. That's the hell of it. You know, that's why I'm glad I don't have any. Yeah. I'm not in big finance or anything like that. They are going to have a hard time going after me because I don't have. I'm too much of a small fry for them to ever get along with. But the other thing is, don't ever talk to the FBI. If the FBI comes and talks to you, just I have nothing to say to you. That's all you got to say.
And have a nice day.
Yeah. Don't say
anything. Send my best wishes to Marek.
Because that's what they always try to get you for, making false statements to the FBI. That's the first thing. I'll see you later. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Don. We're at the final break. We'll be right back with the final segment.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Back to the final segment, folks, and a few headlines to throw at you quickly here as we're closing out. CDC warns red meat allergy caused by ticks is an emerging public health concern. So is that another engineered plan for the future? CDC at precipice of recommending annual COVID-19 shots. Over in Germany, financially, Germans should prepare for tough years ahead due to energy transition. The green economy minister warns. The green economy minister, it sounds pretty.
Whether you like it or not.
Trump says Mar-a-Lago tapes were not deleted. Secret Service denies Freedom of Information Act request to provide lists potentially linked to cocaine incident. U.S. announces $345 million in unprecedented military aid for Taiwan. And inflation adjusted, men are making less money than in 1979, but women are doing better now. Absurd. So that's another engineered destruction of the family statistic. Dan in Washington, we have a couple minutes. Dan, what do you want to add?
Yeah, I love Pat. Hopefully she calls in more often. I had to miss some of that little debate, but Paul, you're totally right. I just got in an argument with an old Army friend that is basically I call them Wiggers. I mean, they basically believe that they are the N-word to the Jew. You know, I mean, the Jew is their master race, and that's how it all plays out for them. But, the head of Iran said in America or in the West, the real religion isn't Christianity, it's the Holocaust myth. So the Holocaust myth is the actual religion of the West at this point. The white guilt, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, anyway, it's pretty tragic. I think a lot of the higher-ups, the brains behind, like, the Lutherans and the Baptists, were probably killed off during denazification, I bet, in Germany. I think the intellectual power of the Protestants was pretty much murdered off back then. And now all you have is basically TV preachers and people like that funded by Israel.
John Hagee.
Yeah, John Hagee. I mean, that's it. They got the TV channels.
The annoying thing about them as well is they always like to act as if they're somehow privy to knowledge that nobody else is aware of, as if what they believe is kind of somewhere, you know, that they alone and their little group believe. They always love to have this kind of theological sort of superiority of you to warn you. Let me warn you, Mr. Christian, if you're not prepared, you need to get prepared for what's coming. And they never say exactly what's coming because they like the power for you to say, oh, what's coming? And then they can tell you, and they can act as if there's some great authority. Well, this is going to happen. It's just like, oh yeah, what you believe is so new. No one's ever heard of your view of dispensational eschatology before. You know.
Thanks for taking the call. Great show.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. And Paul, thank you as always. Glad to have you. Have a great week, brother.
Thank you, Richard. You too, my friend.
Folks, please support RBN to keep all this free speech alive. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on that donate page. Plenty of options keep us running here so that we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.